This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
And he bobbles it, scoops it in, vacuums it home. Here comes Hubbard. Oh, he threw him away like a rag doll. And he throws in the end zone. Caught for a touchdown. Caught for a touchdown by Likely.
It's Kevin Harlan on the call. CBS game that just ended on NFL Network as Justin Tucker kicked a game-winning field goal because McPherson missed his because the punter dropped the snap. And Justin Tucker kicking game-winning field goals for the Ravens probably seems like a long shot at this point in time. But, hey, we can celebrate that win. And Lamar Jackson bobbled the snap. Cundiff, who was it? It was the guy that ran in the fumble a couple years ago in the playoffs. Hubbard. The Ohio State kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then threw the touchdown to Likely. By the way, he did that at least twice. Kind of rolled to his right, and then he threw it back across his body and found Likely. But talking about ways, the Ravens right now, six under the salary cap, can free up some space. And we were talking earlier, Jeff Zrebeck, the Athletic, wrote this. To recap, Marcus Williams, release him, gets, let's see, $10 million cap space. Once he's released after June 1st, another 2.1.
So they pick up at what? So then they'd be at about, what, $15 million under?
Release Arthur Millette. That would free up another 2.25.
All right. So you're $18 million?
Now, this is where things might get a little dicey. Release, trade, or extend Mark Andrews?
Putting that on the back burner. I would say no to that one.
Release or trade David Ajabo, getting rid of him, would save you $1.8 million.
I'm doing it at the 53. You know, if he's... I'm going to take him through camp. Kind of like Nolan said, you know, it's not picking you up enough money. And if for some reason that the light came on, you got a young pass rusher, I don't expect it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're, you know, come September, you're saying, man, that's a different dude.
But for that low price tag, he's worth, you know, taking a flyer on.
No doubt.
So we'll see how it all unfolds and extend Derrick Henry here.
Yeah, what'd they say his cap number was, Jeff?
Zrebeck, the final year's cap hit of just under $13 million, did say. Dan Orsini at the awards that he wants to finish his career in Baltimore.
Right, so I'm guessing you probably pick up $3 to $5 million cap space there. And then with Lamar, they could probably, I'm guessing, double digit cap space you can pick up from Lamar. I'm not extending and paying him more money. You know, I'll just write him a check and give him a signing bonus and push it to the end. And I mean, Bob, they could probably get up to 30 some million dollars in cap room.
Now, as Jeff writes, and we heard Lamar's touchdown against the Bengals, extend or restructure. acknowledged DaCosta did end of season news conference that'll probably talk to Lamar, who doesn't have an agent. By the way, who just SGA just fired his agent in the NBA?
Yeah, I saw that.
And he's due for a max deal. So good for him. Jackson's $43.7 million cap hit, highest on the team, grows to over $74 million in 26 and 27. The two-time most valuable player's contract has to be addressed at some point because star quarterbacks aren't suddenly going to get cheaper here.
No. And what's he got left? 3 years left on a deal, right?
I'm not sure.
I think it was a five-year deal. And so if he's got 3 years left, I'm just I'm not extending yet. I'm just creating cap space for right now.
Darius Washington, extend this guy who stabilized outside of Kyle Hamilton. A safety position that was a debacle for most of the year, as we saw. We were just watching it from that game against the Bengals a couple months back.
Well, that's another one, Bob, that I would say right player, right price, because let's say that you take a safety in the first or second round. Then, you know, you're playing a Darius Washington for this year only, probably, you know. And then I guess if he's going to take backup money, what kind of interest do people have in him? Because he is undersized, you know, kind of like Geno Stone was. But the thing Geno did was interceptions. But then when Cincinnati got him, an expected thing, disappointed.
Yeah, no interceptions. A lot of giving up touchdowns. To make sure he stays around, writes Jeff from The Athletic, Ravens will probably have to extend him a second-round tender, restricted with a projected price at $5.2 million.
Second-round pick. I mean, if he's... I'm guessing they'll probably... I just don't know if they're going to take a, you know, if they're going to take a safety in the first or second round. I don't know if they're going to. Well, yeah, I'll say they're going to do that, Bob, because they can always rescind it and take it back.
Extend Marlon Humphrey, coming off an all-pro season when it looked like he was probably in the decline, but he proved to everyone he is not. However, turns 29 in July. Cap hit, $25 million, second only to Lamar on the team.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do something with him, and I just have a feeling, Bob, he's going to ask for the moon. And, you know, you had an awful year the year before, and then you had a very good year this year, but he does his best work from the nickel, you know, inside position. So what is Joel Siegel going to be asking his agent? That would be, you know, what I would, but it would be nice to get that cap number way down.
And extend Adape Owe. Ravens did pick up his fifth-year option, and he had double-digit sacks, which is great. Cap number right now, $13.25 million. Question, I guess, there is, guys, is that an aberration? Is that a sign of a guy that's going to trend into becoming one of the premier pass rushers at his position?
I say no, he's not going to, you know, be a premier pass rusher. I think he'll always be like the second guy, Bob. The only thing that concerns me a little bit is when they were playing teams that were going to run the ball a lot, Tavius Robinson was the one doing all the playing, and Owe was doing the one just rushing, and Van Noy was in there playing the run. So I'm playing him on his fifth-year option, and I got to see another year. I want to see, because he went from, what, 5 to 10? Does he go from 10 to whatever? And then, you know, it's going to cost more, but I'm not going to bet that I'm going to pay him a bunch of money like all these other guys are getting, because he's not Crosby. He's not Hendrickson. He's not those guys at all.
What do you think, Nolan? OA extension or prove it deal?
No, I'm with Vinny there, and actually I almost feel like it might play out kind of like the Matt Judon saga here, where, you know, Judon had some of his better years towards the end of his tenure with the Ravens. They hit him with the franchise tag to keep him that extra year. I don't know what the Ravens cap situation is going to look like a year from now, but hypothetically speaking, if Adafe Owe had another solid season or another somewhere in that 8 to 10 sack ballpark, would you take the hit for the 1 year high price just to keep another pass rusher around in a Super Bowl window? It's kind of what they did with Judon, who was only giving you 9 sacks, but they liked him enough. They had the room. all right, we'll bite the bullet for 1 year.
Yeah, and the cap number, you know, with a franchise would be 20-some million. So that would be a significant, you know, raise for Owe. But if, like you said, Nolan, if he gets double-digit sacks again, then you're either going to extend him, you're going to keep him. You're going to find a way to keep him somehow, some way, whether it be the new contract or the tag.
Video at 81057 The Fan. And finally, Tyler Linderbaum and Kyle Hamilton both can sign contract extensions. And as Jeff writes, and I think we all kind of connect dots, they're going to have those conversations. But again, you get those deals done, then your salary cap's not going down.
And Travis Jones, don't forget him either, because he wasn't a first rounder. And he'll be up too, which I think he would have a chance to make. Now, he may be one, Bob, that may be able to get done easier than the others.
It's video at 81057 The Fan. We'll talk about this year's NFL draft with Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. He'll be at the Combine in Indy next week. Take your phone calls at 410-583-1057 and compare the Orioles lineup and rotation with Toronto, Tampa, and Baltimore.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Guest hotline. Let's welcome back, as we do every Wednesday, Ryan Wilson. Ryan, what's going on?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How's it going?
It's going all right. And we had Eric Edholm on yesterday and talking about the draft, and in particular some guys that maybe turning some heads before you get to the combine because you got the Senior Bowl, then you have pro days and all that fun stuff that goes along with it, of a player that isn't getting the necessary projected top 15 pub. Is there anyone that has caught your eye, Ryan, as someone who might not go in the first round but could be a real difference maker at some point, maybe in day two or day three?
Oh, my gosh. There's so many guys on defense. And I know that's just, you know, where the Ravens are going to be focusing some of their attention along the defensive line. You know, I think we've talked about Mike Green. I think he has a chance to be a top 15 guy. He's a Marshall edge rusher who had a great Senior Bowl, but actually had a great season at Marshall as well. But in terms of guys that maybe we're not talking enough about in the media, but I think NFL teams are really going to like these players once the draft rolls around. And he's not a small-time guy. Jack Sawyer, the edge rusher out of Ohio State. It's funny, the media reviews are mixed, but if you watch this guy play, the power with which he plays and the way he comes off the edge and the passion he gives, for lack of a better word, each and every play, that sort of stuff translates. And I think he has the physical tools to be a first-round talent. Maybe he slips into the top 40, so he just slips just outside the first round, and we see him sort of like the Brian Branch syndrome or the Ladd McConkey syndrome. For whatever reason, these guys fall out of the first round, and in retrospect, Braden Fisk is another great example. Probably should have been first-round picks. He feels like a Detroit Lion to me, the way he plays. And one of the things I kept coming back to watching him was he's not T.J. Watt, but remember, T.J. Watt fell to the bottom of the first round because, quote-unquote, he was stiff. T.J. Watt's a Hall of Famer, and sometimes we don't get the evaluation right the first time, and it takes 2 or 3 years to figure out, oh, that kid is actually really special, and we got that one wrong.
Hey, Ryan, I saw one mock draft had the Ravens' Shamar Stewart from A&M. Do you like him as a rusher?
I love him, and I was talking to someone yesterday that said he's going to blow the roof off the combine, and that's not the end-all, be-all, but he's 6'5", 285, or whatever he is. He's better than Darius Robinson was coming out last year out of Missouri, and I like Darius Robinson a lot. He was a first-round pick, similar size and weight for the Cardinals, and part of me wonders if the Nick Scorton's another example, his teammate at Texas A&M, who has a chance to be a first-round pick, is an edge rusher who's 260-plus. If once they get to the NFL and maybe the scheme in which they're used or the way in which they're deployed exploits what they do best, and I think Shamar Stewart is one of these guys. Athletically, he's bonkers in terms of what he can do. It didn't show up playing and play out, and I think part of that scheme, and I think in the right scheme, I think Zach Orr's scheme highlights a lot of what these athletic players do well. That feels like something that would be an absolute steal for the Ravens if he's there. I'd be surprised if he's there in the bottom half of the first round. I think he might go a little higher than that. But yeah, that dude can ball. And I think in the right system, it's going to be a lot more than what we saw even in Texas A&M.
Hey, Ryan, talk to the listeners about what happens on Monday. Because the TV stuff starts Thursday with the workouts. What happens Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you know, with everybody heading there?
Yeah, so I'm going to be there Monday, and you're right, the televised portion of it doesn't happen until midweek. So the GMs and coaches will speak, and you know that well, Vinny. They'll come and talk to the media and answer questions they don't want to answer or provide non-answers about free agents or quarterbacks-to-be, and that happens on the first few days. And meanwhile, behind the scenes, the players, they come in waves based on the position. And by the way, that's why Travis Hunter was listed at one position. Just because he was listed at DB doesn't mean he's not going to take part in the wide receiver drills, but the logistics of having players at different positions based on what they have to do during the week. So some will be doing medicals. Some will be doing taking the cognitive testing. Some will be the interviews process will start. And these young men have very full days. And by the time they get to us to talk to the media once the midweek rolls around, they're mentally exhausted. They won't say it, but you'll say things like, how was the medical visit? Oh, I spent 8 hours at the hospital having to wait to get an MRI or getting poked and prodded. So it's a laborious process that goes beyond just the field day we see on television where they're running as fast as they can in a straight line or catching passes in the gauntlet and throwing the ball down, something they'll never do again. But it's a full week for these young men, and especially for someone like Travis Hunter, who's going to be doing more than one position.
Now, if you're the Ravens, what do you think? I mean, if you're sitting there at 27, quality pass rusher, corner, safety, what do you think would be the best choice there at 27? Or is it advantageous to move up a little bit, or because there's so many pass rushers, would it be smart to move back?
Unless you absolutely love one of these pass rushers, I would be comfortable moving back or taking a defensive back, because the defensive backs aren't nearly as deep as the front four class, edge rusher, even defensive line. And I don't think a Malachi Starks will be there. That would be a stretch. Something would have to happen, whether it's injury-related or something. But if he were there, that's a slam dunk. But a name to keep an eye on, I could have mentioned this at the top, Nick Imanwori, the safety out of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And he probably does a lot of the same things that Kyle Hamilton does. But he also has insane ball skills, and he can play deep half if you need him to. So, you know, can you have two Kyle Hamiltons on the team? I think Zach Orr would be okay with that, but he's the type of safety that sends a message when he comes downhill, and he's a difference maker on the secondary. And if you were there, I'd feel comfortable with that if you're passing on one of these edge rushers. And a guy that I actually like a lot going to Pittsburgh, and we'll see in what range he ends up going, maybe a little higher, Jahdae Barron, the cornerback / nickelback out of Texas, who ball hawk, always around the ball, can play outside or in, and reminds me a little bit of Brian Branch, the guy I mentioned earlier. He slipped into the second round simply because he ran slow at the combine, but played so much faster than that. So I would target secondary from the Ravens at this point in the bottom half of the first round, just because that defensive line class is, I mean, you're going to get guys on day two, day three, they're going to help you right away.
Now, what makes Starks so good, and where do you think he goes, Ryan?
He could be a top 10 pick, and he's probably the smartest player in this draft class, quarterbacks included. Great kid. Sideline to sideline guy as a safety. He can play deep. He can play closer to the line of scrimmage. He tackles well in space. He can cover wide receivers. He ran 10.5 in the 100 in high school. And for some idea, that's a move. Like that, yeah. That's not a 4.75 safety speed.
4.4.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So he can play in no stiffness in this game. Sometimes you have straight line guys that can run, but they can't go laterally. There are very few holes in Malachi Starks' game, and he is exactly where he needs to be on every play. And he has ball skills and the physical tools that go along with the NFL, prototypical NFL safety. So if he were there at the bottom of the first round, it would just be because he got pushed down. Maybe there's some medical we don't know about. But otherwise, he could very easily be a top 10 pick.
How many O-linemen, total O-linemen, guards and tackles are going to go in a first, in your opinion?
I'm counting right now. I have 5 guards and tackles with first-round grades. And then guys like Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State. He played outside at North Dakota State, but he's going to move inside. Donovan Jackson, who was asked to play left tackle because of injury at Ohio State, he'll play inside. Those guys are right on the fringe. As early day two guys, and if you told me they snuck into the back of round one, I would get it because of need. Media folks like Josh Connerly a little bit better than I do, the left tackle out of Oregon. Mm-hmm. Insanely athletic, but he is also raw as raw gets, and I would be very hesitant to put him outside to protect someone like Patrick Mahomes, for example, if you took him late in round one. But the athleticism is through the roof. But this class, remember last year, 9 guys on the offensive line went in the first round. This year is not quite like that, but there are going to be some guys that can help you pretty early on, just not quite as many.
Are you seeing or hearing that running backs becoming more important in the draft now, Ryan?
Yeah, and the conversation is this, Vinny. Do you take someone like Ashton Jeanty if he's there at 15 or 16 because he is Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs special? Or do you wait? Because, again, this running back class is through the roof deep as well. Amarian Hampton out of UNC is a power back who can catch the ball. Trevion Henderson, we know about him. He has track speed as well at Ohio State. There are 15 guys that could end up getting drafted and help your team right away. But your other point is one, more and more, the way these offense changes in college, you see the running backs being asked to catch the ball more. And sometimes 15, 5, 10 years ago, you wouldn't quite know what the running back could do until you worked him out because he wasn't asked to do that in college. And just the evolution of the passing game allows you to have a better idea. Now, a lot of these guys ain't blocking, so you're not drafting these guys to be out there on third down, and that's something that you have to figure out and take into consideration. But in terms of the offensive productivity they provide, it feels like it's better than ever.
How fast do you say that guy ran?
10.500 meters?
That's 10.5.
Yeah. That's McGraw-like speed over there, baby. Nolan McGraw bringing the Carl Lewis. He's Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, talking draft and all NFL as he does every Wednesday. Have a safe trip to Indy, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, guys.
There's Ryan Wilson, everyone. We'll come back, take your phone calls, 410-583-1057, look at the Orioles lineup versus Toronto's Boston's, and then Tampa's, if you choose to do so. And then a funhouse trip with old Nolan there before Inside Access takes over, too. Don't forget, tomorrow, Terps taking on USC. You can hear the game on 105.7 The Fan.
Your sports information station, 105.7 The Fan.
3-2 coming, curveball hit in the air to deep left field. Back goes Nimmo to the warning track, takes a look, and that's gone. Anthony Santander, his 37th home run of the year, a two-run shot.
Sportsnet on the call, that was Tony Taters, one of his 44 bombs hit for the Orioles in his final season. In the black and orange, 101 driven in. Hey, the all-star team. Now he's in Toronto, trying to bolster that Blue Jays lineup that had some problems last year. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Just tuning in yesterday, we compared the Orioles lineup to the Yankees, gave the Orioles a slight edge. The Yankees right now, big edge in the rotation. And maybe in the bullpen, it could be a push, if not advantage, Baltimore. But let's get to the Toronto Ball Club. We talked about them last hour with Mike Exisa, Nolan Springer, Bichette, Vlad Jr., who just turned down a contract extension. So what are we getting out of this dude who had a monster season last year? You know, we all like Tony Taters. We've made that clear for years and years and years. I mean, Rule 5 pick. He was a brilliant acquisition by Dan Duquette. But he's gone. Can he duplicate 44 homers in 101? Alejandro Kirk, the hefty guy. Hefty. Had a real big year offensively. Dalton Varsho got a big glove, got some home run power. Andrés Giménez, gold glover for Cleveland. Ernie Clements at third base. And Joey Loperfido is in left field. Mike said that that's a lineup that's top heavy, might have more slappies at the back end. Nolan, we'll start with you. Can that lineup match the Orioles run for run if we're in a slugfest sort of game?
Top to bottom, not so sure. But I will say their infield, for me, might be second best in the division behind the Orioles. I'm banking on a big year for Vlad Guerrero Jr. I mean, he's got to, you know, earn that money. I mean, he didn't get exactly what he wanted here from Toronto. Now, this is his, you know, Juan Soto opportunity to go out there, have a monster season, put it all together, be healthy from start to finish. That's another huge key for him. Be healthy, and that money will come. So I'm expecting very motivated Vlad. Bo Bichette, I agree with Mike Exisa. I mean, he's just not going to turn in another stinker. Health huge for him as well. And that Giménez trade with Cleveland could pay, I mean, at least defensively, huge dividends for them. And Ernie Clement, I mean, all right, I mean, they can't be all-stars all around the horn, but he's there. He did some good things last year. And in my opinion, compared to, say, like a Yankees infield, certainly the Rays and Boston remains to be seen, but I think they might have the second-best infield here.
John Schneider, the skipper, and as we said, they bottomed out last year. Back-to-back playoff appearances didn't last long. Dismissed in the wild card round. I'm guessing old John Schneider, and we're not confusing him with the guy from Dukes of Hazzard, the guy with the blonde hair over here. It's John Schneider, probably the hot seat manager. And you know, they got fancy names in the rotation. Scherzer, aging. Gausman, it is hard to believe he's, 35? I remember they drafted him, fourth out of LSU in 2012. Bassett, Jose Barrios, and Bowden Francis. Closer looks to be Jeff Hoffman as Romano's moved on to the National League, if I'm not mistaken.
Rotation-wise, kind of similar to the Orioles. I mean, if you want to put Kevin Gausman ahead of anyone on the Orioles staff, at least right now on paper, I wouldn't argue with you. I think Grayson Rodriguez has a chance to surpass that or reach that this year, develop into that number one guy. But beyond him, Barrios, Eflin, kind of cancel each other out, in my opinion. They're on equal footing. And then you get the aging guys, Max Scherzer versus Charlie Morton. I'll take Charlie Morton. Much more durable, and their numbers kind of similar overall. So they're both in that 40-year-old range. Bassett, Sagano, both 35. Kind of a bit more of a mystery with Sagano, but Bassett's not exactly, you know, an ace himself. And the key then for them, Bowden Francis. You know, first year, last year for him to actually break out, surpass 100 innings for the first time in his career. Pretty good numbers to go along with it. If he takes that next step, that could be what transforms their rotation.
All right, let's get to Boston real quick, and we'll talk about their lineup tomorrow because, you know, time is of the essence. And as Mike said, and we talked about it, I'm guessing sooner or later, Devers clanking over third base might cost them a game or two. We got a Gold Glover sitting over there at second, trying to get used to a new position. Garrett Crochet, Tanner Houck, Brian Bayo, Walker Buehler, Cutter Crawford. That's the projected rotation for the Boston Red Sox. And Liam Hendricks and Chapman bringing up the back end. So that pitching staff, hey, Buehler's a stud, two Tommy Johns. Crochet had Tommy John a couple years ago. Not sure Bayo did, but they have a couple dudes in their starting five that's already gone under the knife for sure.
Right. I mean, kind of really banking on all the stars aligning here, at least with the Walker Buehler stuff, right? I mean, is he going to be 100%? The Garrett Crochet, same thing. I mean, if they're all healthy, yeah, it could be a very dangerous rotation. But if I'm a Red Sox fan right now, I like the additions. I like that they were aggressive in their additions of pitching, but still just kind of wait and see mode. Cautious optimism would be how I would be feeling.
Now, I would have liked for the Orioles to make a run at old Garrett Crotchet. Did not, and that's the way it is. So first year as a starter, and he was outstanding. So we'll talk more about the Red Sox and the Rays tomorrow. Real quick before we get a break, Chargers are playing in the San Paulo opener. What's that, Friday night after Philly and, I guess, who are we going with?
Washington
or Detroit. Looking at the home opponents for the L.A. Chargers. Playoff team lost as favorites, as a matter of fact, on the road. Division foes, Denver, KC, L.A.? Any of those?
Las Vegas, rather. I don't see it.
Houston and the Colts?
Houston, possibly.
Playoff rematch.
Yeah.
Eagles and Washington. Philly's going to open at home on that Thursday, so
yeah.
Cross them off. How about the old Steelers?
I could see the Steelers.
And then, they're already going international, though, remember?
Oh, okay. Dublin?
Yeah, they're going to Ireland.
Yeah, that's right.
So I don't know if they'd make them double up.
Probably not.
And then the Minnesota Vikings, quarterback to be determined.
Yeah, that. Well, Bob, how about if J.J. McCarthy's the starter for the Vikings, playing his old head coach?
He won him a national championship, as a matter of fact. So that's coming up. We'll get the schedule coming out in a couple of months here. Ravens, we expect, will have their share of primetime games. As always, we'll come back, take a phone call, go to the Funhouse, and then Inside Access takes over too here on 105.7 The Fan. All right, let's get out to the phones real quick. We'll go to the Funhouse. Let's go to Towson. It is PT. PT, what's happening?
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for taking my call. Didn't have power since Sunday. My freaking home's 47 degrees.
Damn.
So I've been hurting big time. I've been sleeping with jackets on. But I've been making it through with you guys. The 10-2's been gold, and you three are gold. Cordell's been great. Joe from Woodbury, Deshaun, obviously. I mean, those two characters. You can't be cooler than those two. And, of course, Ed from Arbutus. You got to know sports to listen to Ed from Arbutus. You got to take some notes because that man is bringing a whole lot of information. And I really just appreciate it big time because it's been a tough 72 hours. And moving forward, it's funny that freaking ESPN, Mr. Big Time Sports, is saying that Stanley is likely to return to Baltimore. But all of us, and certainly you guys, three guys, have been telling us what we know. The last, when he wasn't playing for a contract, he didn't play a whole lot, and he didn't play that well. And then he's played for a contract, and it was a stellar left tackle. So it seems pretty obvious to us that he's going to move forward, but freaking ESPN's like, oh, no. But
I think it was the best fit for him was the Ravens.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll see. It might be, but will it become reality? That's the question.
I don't think the Ravens are going to pay him what he can probably get on in the open market. And that's one of those situations where go find out what you're worth, Ronnie.
Right, absolutely. And it's like Burns a little bit. It's like, man, a lot of his numbers are like trending subtly, but subtly they're trending down. And Elias has a philosophy. And his philosophy, it matches up with baseball. I mean, look at the Dodgers. They were 19th. They're starting pitchers in ERA. And who was their number one starting pitcher in the playoffs? Jack freaking Flannery, right?
Yes.
I mean, he had 22 innings, 7.3 ERA. I mean, the future of baseball, which Elias knows, and apparently some of the Baltimore fans don't really realize, the future of baseball, man, is the bullpen. The starting pitchers are going to give you five, six innings tops. But, man, you need a bullpen.
Yeah, and PT, thanks for the call, man. We're coming up on the top with Inside Access. Back in the day, you were a workhorse if you pitched 300 innings.
Yeah.
Now, that's never happened. 200 is considered to be the benchmark. But Burns, the K rate has been dipping the last couple of years. Don't get me wrong. Would I have loved him back here? 100%. But you got to find them warts where you can. Nolan, anything for the people before Inside Access takes over here?
Nope, just the funhouse.
That's
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at smiledesigndoctor.com.
I like that quick straw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here from Chris says, releasing or trading Mark Andrews seems a little ridiculous given his production last year. Seems like some recency bias as well after the one bad playoff performance. Only way I would get rid of Andrews is if a stud tight end was coming your way in the first round.
Man, I don't know that they get that kind of luxury to take a tight end in the first round. That would be the thing. Although Andrews did have his lowest numbers, and we mentioned that earlier in the show, I think 3-point-something receptions per game and 39 yards, which is his lowest output since his rookie year.
Good for a touchdown a week, though.
Yes,
at
he
one
was.
Point there, I mean, it was automatic. Just go ahead and take it to the sports book. This one here from Eric in Bel Air talking about the secondary depth. Says, I know the veteran cornerback turned safety thing gets thrown around a lot, but it rarely happens in practice. With that being said, Eric is thinking that Marlon Humphrey could be a guy who pulls a Rod Woodson, a very good corner early in their career, makes the transition to safety, gets another couple quality years there. Is that a route that you see Humphrey taking in his career?
I think he's kind of, we see what his new role is or what he's best at. And he's been best at this for a while, is the nickel on the inside, playing on the inside where he can cover a tight end and do those things. So, you know, when you're in your nickel and your dime type stuff, he's kind of playing like a nickelback or a safety.
This one from Daryl in Kent Island says, any improvements for the Orioles after two quick playoff exits would be welcome. He goes on to say, we got some guys that can hit for contact. He likes that, but hoping for maybe some more arriving at the in-season deadline, more moves to be made in-season.
Well, we've seen Elias very willing to make trades. The Orioles were the most active team at the trade deadline last year. Some of them didn't really work out all that great. But, hey, good news. Nolan, you were telling me during one of the breaks, Coby Mayo showing off the old home run power today, isn't he?
Yeah, just batting practice, but apparently clearing the stands.
Ooh.
In right field multiple times in a row, not just one homer there.
That's right.
And one last text here, the whole All-Star debacle. Texter says, the only All-Star game still somewhat worth watching is Major League Baseball. Not nearly the product it once was. He says it's been ruined by many things, including interleague play. The appeal of the All-Star game used to be that all these great players crossing paths once a year in the Midsummer Classic, and then maybe twice if you made the World Series. It goes on to say it'll never go back to being what it is, but it used to be quite the spectacle and all about league pride.
Yeah, and I'm going, old man, I don't like the players mic'd up during a game.
No, I don't either. But the thing I do like, Bob, is the uniforms are back.
Bringing back the team uniforms, no more of that dopey stuff they wore in the last 3 years. That I think that'll be the home run derby attire. So there you go. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. Back tomorrow, Total Request Thursday, Inside Access, coming up here in a matter of minutes. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.